Joy, tell us first about Pickle Street School Studio. That Pickle Street name is fascinating to me. Where did that name come from?
Well, the tales that I've heard, and I've tried to research this, is that the countryside out here is very sandy, and the school was built in 1858, and of course, in those days, schools were built one every mile. Every square mile, there was a little country school. And the road that the school is on was a road called Pickle Street. And the other schools in the area are like Sand Hill, Pickle Street, Monterey Center, those kinds of things. So that's the story I've been told. I can't verify that, but that's what we've heard from the old folks.
Oh, I'm going to have to dig into that at some point and find out why Pickle Street was Pickle Street, though. Did people grow a lot of cucumbers out there, or what?
Yeah, that's what the rumor was, is that the soil was poor and they couldn't have a lot of other crops, so they grew a lot of pickles and cucumbers down in that area.
Oh, I love it. Do you pickle?
I have. I'm not so much these days, but I have, yes, of course.
Last couple of years, I've tried pickling some of the cucumbers out of my garden, and they're so much better than store-bought.
Yeah, they are. They're wonderful. That's true.
Well, let's swing to art here instead of pickles, but I had to ask about that name. So this was a building that you had actually attended as a child, as a school, correct?
Yes, I went to school there from K through 8th grade, and then the schools consolidated in 1968, but by then I was already out of high school. My family then bought the schoolhouse, and it's next to where I grew up. So all throughout the years, I'd always envisioned turning that school into a studio. In the meantime, it had been all kinds of things. My aunt had lived there. My dad stored bulldozer parts in there at one point in time. And so I was a public school teacher. And when I retired, I said to my mother, if there's one thing I can inherit, I'd love to inherit the school. And she said, well, let's set it up. So at that point, my nephew and my mother's cleaning lady and I went into the school, and it hadn't been totally remodeled, but we needed to do a lot of spackling and painting and patching, and took it back to kind of the shape that it should have been.
And it looks like the charming country school that you would have in your imagination, I think, a postcard look to it.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Was it a basically one-room school, or it doesn't look very large?
Yeah, it's definitely a one-room school.
So tell me about how the school was and how is it today. You must have done some renovation.
When I inherited it from my family, it was in pretty bad shape, and so we started pulling out we pulled out a wall and just had to do a lot of patching up. And we got to the floor, and we got down to the bottom floor, which is all wood. And some carpenters that I know have looked at it. And the thing that's very interesting is that the floorboards are of all different sizes and different types of wood. So that probably the thought is that the folks that built this school way back in the 1850s would just donate lumber that was milled, and that became what the floor was made out of.
I'm thinking you should be on HGTV too. I don't know if you ever watched that on cable.
Yes,
about
I do.
Renovations,
yeah,
of old buildings. And
yeah, it was truly a labor of love. It was fun to do. We enjoyed it very much. We learned so many things. One of the things that, you know, those schools were designed pre-electricity by a long ways, and we would be in there working in the dead of winter and wouldn't even turn the lights on because the flow of light was designed to flow through those old buildings. You know, there were all those tall windows, and it was just a delight.
So now it's a studio. Tell us about the classes, workshops that you offer there. And I imagine you use it as your own studio as well.
So now it's a working art studio, which is where I paint and do my own artwork. And I offer classes. I teach 2 days a week, and I have a lot of guest artists come in of all sorts. We have people come in and do weekend workshops, and from all over. I didn't realize this at the time, but basically living where I do and having the studio, I'm 30 minutes from Grand Rapids, 30 minutes from Holland, 40 minutes from Kalamazoo, Lansing's an hour away. So it's very centrally located. And people are coming in from all over. It's great. It's really something that's kind of fun with all the people from all over.
We're actually neighbors, and I was charmed by that myself when I chose property in this area, that, yeah, it is central. There's a lot of places, and, you know, you're kind of in the hub of things here.
Right. And we don't always know that in the middle of the winter, of course, but this time of year, it's very central, isn't it?
Yeah. All right. And tell us about your own journey as an artist. I understand your favored mediums are watercolor, pastel, and oil. How did you become an artist? How did you decide on this journey for your life?
Well, I think I was always so interested in art. And I, when I went to college, I started out as a commercial artist from Ferris and then went on to Western Michigan University and studied art education and then postgraduate stuff at Grand Valley. But I studied to be an art teacher, and I did that for some years, and then I ended up being a fourth grade teacher because the art programs got cut. So I taught public school for all those years, and of course, underneath, I wanted to be doing my own artwork, which was something that I would do, but not as much as I wanted to do. So then this gives me the time and the place to pursue my own art, primarily doing pastel and oil painting. I have a gallery in the school, and then I also have my work on display at Fernwood Gallery in Fenville.
Oh, yeah, I love that gallery. Lots of great art out there.
Yeah, it's a wonderful place to be.
So what are some of the most important lessons that you teach as an art teacher when those students come in? What do you teach them, and what do they teach you?
Well, that's a very good question. I guess my philosophy that each person has some artist in them, and I don't want them to feel that they have to paint like me. So I give them basic instruction on how to use the medium they're working with, talking about composition, and I pretty much allow people to do, we have themes, but I really like them to do independent studies with me and just to become who they're going to be. As a student and as an artist. So that's my philosophy. I think it's pretty solid. That's the way I believe. I can't remember your second question.
The second question was, whenever I talk to a teacher, they also tell me that they learn from their students. I imagine you do too.
Oh, I absolutely do all the time. It's delightful to see people using different mediums. Each time we start class, we start out with a positive critique and people talk about what I was trying to do, how did I go about doing it, and their paths through their own art, and we all discuss those kinds of things. And of course, people inspire one another. It's very inspiring to see what other people are doing as well. And just keeps you on your game, you know, it keeps you on your game, and it's exciting. It truly is exciting to see, oh, I think I'll try that next, or, that's lovely. I think it's wonderful, that sort of thing.
You mentioned at some point being an elementary art school teacher in the Hopkins schools.
Yes, that was a long time ago.
How is it different teaching young children and teaching adults?
Well, for one thing, with little kids, you have to be kind of managing a lot more, of course. But the same feeling is there that kids are all creative if you have the venue. And I feel that Just like the studio, it's a venue for artists, and it's a place where people can paint. And I don't know that we often have those around in our society anymore. So I keep hearing that from people as well. It's like, thank you. This is great. It's a spot where you can be creative. And I felt that was the type of classroom I wanted to have when I taught young kids in elementary school.
So you have some guest artists that come in as well. Tell us about some of the guest artists that you have coming in end of summer, early fall.
I have one guest artist who is a Kalamazoo fella named Richard Jordan. And artists in Kalamazoo know Richard. He's a plein air artist. He is the fella that created the whole West Michigan plein air group. And he does workshops around the state. He does workshops at Pickle Street School, and just he's a very nurturing, kind fella, good instructor, and wonderful artist. So I'm pretty lucky to have him affiliated with my studio. We're going to be doing a group show coming up in the fall at the Holland Hospital that has a gallery. So we're going to do a Pickle Street group show there for the month of December. And we have had others in the past, but with COVID, everything's kind of just gearing up again, up and down, you know.
Anything else that you'd like to add about the studio, about your own art, any events coming up?
Well, I think that the one thing that I always felt before I did the renovation is that Western Michigan, and particularly the area that we live in, is just beautiful. And it seems that a lot of acknowledgement has gone to the coast, you know, the East Coast and the West Coast. And I think that our beautiful countryside just needed to be discovered. And I feel that with plein air and with just people within Michigan and the Midwest painting, it's taking on its own respect from that. You know, it's really a beautiful spot, and we're hoping to let others realize how beautiful we think it is.
Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Joy, and keep painting.
Thank you. I appreciate it.